Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religion would not even be an issue except for the Bible.
Before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
I can assure you there are millions of Christians who did not take parts of the Bible literally.
Forfeit all claims to your own authority. Stand without apology on the only authority that matters, which is the authority of God Himself entrusted to us in His Word.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday here at Georgia Tech. Sitting in my car, I'm at Georgia Tech, and I'm getting ready to walk out into the campus, and I've got that feeling again. What is that feeling? It seems to be that feeling that this is a difficult thing to do, an unpleasant thing to do even. Dare I say? Because witnessing to people can be hard. Now, here's the interesting thing about the way I'm feeling. Thanks for asking. I have done this, I don't know how many times. And over the years where I've been doing this, I can't think of one time. Do you mind if I get out of my car? It's starting to get hot. The worst thing that could happen today, which is about the worst thing that has ever happened to me, is that I'll ask somebody, hey, will you talk to me? And they're going to say, no, I don't have time. I got to go take a test. You know, that excuse. Really? That's the worst. And yet, for some reason, the feeling of going and doing this again is really the same feeling that I've probably had every single time that I have done this. You kind of get a little bit. And so it is as we go out to witness, or you are even at the grocery store and you have the opportunity to witness, I suspect that you are going to have fear, just like I have. Whatever this feeling is, you're probably going to get it. Maybe you need to bring somebody with you. Maybe just being aware of it will be helpful. Maybe just realizing this happens all day, every day, people are doing it, and the worst that is going to happen to you is somebody says, no. Don't talk to me. Is it that bad? Is it that painful? It must be, because it sure does give us the shakes, doesn't it? So with fear intact, on the whatever 100th time this is, or 1,000th time this is, that I've done this, going to try to be obedient anyway. So that's what we're going to do. We will get to it. I'm just heading right now toward the little Areopagus Center, where the kids tend to sit, kind of linger a little bit more than in other places. Always be aware of that. Where can people talk? When somebody's doing the boogie and they're trying to get to the next place to stop, hey, can I ask you a couple of questions? You're just setting yourself up for failure. So look for the place where people are hanging. Hey, young man, could I interrupt your listening for a moment to ask you a question on the radio?
Sure.
What's your first name?
Steven.
Nice to meet you, Steven. How do you do?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Where are you from?
McDonough.
That's in Georgia.
Yes, sir.
I'm not very familiar with everything. What are you doing here at Georgia Tech?
I'm actually a physics major. I'm actually doing pre-teaching it.
You want to teach?
Yes.
Why?
It's just something that I find interesting.
So you like to learn?
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, I want you to teach me something. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to teach me.
Okay.
Very specifically, which religion, which world religion is the right religion? Would you teach me?
I actually don't like organized religion.
That was not the question, young man. Which religion is the right religion?
I don't think that organized religion is correct, though.
Okay, so you would tell me the right religion is...
No religion.
No religion.
No, not disreligion, but no organized religion. I think that you should find a way to heaven yourself.
So... can I make that up any way that I want to?
Yes.
All right, here's how I'm going to make my way to heaven. What is that? That's called the campanile, correct? That big pin
yes.
needle thing? Okay. I think that if I climb up that campanile and I can balance on the top of that thing for 3 minutes and 16 seconds, I will make my way to heaven.
If you truly believe that, I think that you can.
Look at the skeptical look in my eyes. Really? I can get to heaven by doing that?
If you truly believe that is what will get you to heaven.
So that sounds a little mystical to me, that the power of my belief actually makes reality. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Huh. Okay, let me try something. All right? I'm a Christian. So here's what I believe. All right? And I firmly believe this. I believe that people who don't believe in Jesus will not have their sins forgiven, and therefore, God will give them what they deserve, and they'll go to hell. Okay, now I believe that. So I believe that anybody who doesn't have forgiveness of their sins will be punished by God. I believe that. So that would mean if you don't have your sins forgiven, then you would be going to hell too. I believe that. Will you be going to hell?
No.
But I believe it. You just told me my reality is real if I really believe it. What happened?
I do believe in Jesus, though. My grandfather is actually a pastor.
Okay, forget that for a second. Let's go back to if I really believe it, it really becomes real. So, let's talk about that.
It becomes
right
real
there.
For yourself, though. It doesn't become real for everybody else.
But my reality
that is your
involves
way,
you.
But that is your way to get to heaven. That's not my way to get to heaven.
But that's irrelevant because I believe it. And you're involved in my reality and my belief. So you're going to hell. Huh?
No.
Well, of course it would. Wouldn't that? So you're saying that my belief only becomes a reality for me.
Yes.
But not for anybody else.
Your belief only affects you.
But what if
you?
My belief involves everybody?
That's fine. It can't affect them, though. Your belief cannot affect another person.
Huh. You're studying physics, right?
Yes.
Give me a physics equation.
Which one?
I don't know. I don't know any of them, so you could make one up and it wouldn't matter to me. But just give it a go.
We'll do a relativistic equation. X equals 1 over gamma x rest. That's the compression equation for relativity.
Would you just say it slower? Because I'm going to try to memorize it one more time.
It is the compressed length equals 1 over gamma times the rest length, where 1 over gamma is the square root of velocity. No, the square root of 1 minus velocity over c squared times something.
Okay, here's what I think it is. Whatever that formula is that you just described, which I can't remember already because I don't have the same kind of brain that you have, it's not 1 over gamma, it's 1 over delta.
No, okay. It is.
What?
Okay.
What do you mean, okay?
You can change the variable.
Well,
that doesn't change what it is.
Okay, but it's okay, then it's 2 over gamma, not 1. How's that? Okay. That's
okay.
What I believe.
Okay.
Am I right?
No.
So I'm wrong.
Okay.
Good boy. Well done. So I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So there's right and wrong in math.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And there's right and wrong in the physical world.
Yes.
And there's right and wrong in the spiritual world.
Not necessarily.
What happened? Why suddenly does reality and truth change in the unseen?
Because we've never measured the unseen. You can't measure the unseen. You can't
measure spirituality. Yes, you can. You can measure the unseen by the seen.
You can't measure spirituality, though.
Well, just because... Well, you can't measure love, either. But you know that it exists, correct? That aside.
Not necessarily.
What do you mean, not necessarily?
Love doesn't have to exist.
You don't think love exists?
Not for everyone.
Do you love your life?
Not all the time.
Really? So you'd rather die sometimes?
No.
Okay, so you love yourself and you love your life. And
not
you can't
all the
measure
time.
That, but you know you got it, right?
Sure.
All right, and I would also suggest that you can know what is in the unseen by even measuring the seen if you want to do it empirically. Let me tell you a story. All right, I want you to imagine something, and you see if this floats your boat. Imagine a cave, and there are some cave people, let's just call them humans, sitting in the cave, and they are sitting on a bench, staring at a wall, and they're chained so that they can't move from the bench, and they can't even turn their head. All they can see is the wall in front of them. Right behind them are some other people who are busy living life, making sandwiches, eating raw boar, whatever it is that they would do in a cave. And behind them is a fire. And so the fire causes the people who are going about their business to cast their shadow on the wall in front of the people who are chained. Got the vision?
Okay.
All the people can see that are chained to the bench is the vision on the wall. They can't see the people nor the flame behind them. All they can see in front of them is the shadow. Right?
Okay.
To those people who are sitting on that bench, the shadow actually becomes reality, because that's all they can see. My question for you, Stephen, is what is more real? The shadow that they can see, or the people behind them going about their business?
Both are equally real, because it's just light propagating from the fire.
One's just simply a shadow. What is more real is the thing that casts the shadow.
It's
the shadow is most
shadow,
certainly real. I understand that. It is an image, but it is merely a shadow of the real image that they can't see. If you argue with me, you're arguing with Plato. All right, mister? This is a Plato philosophy here. What we see, this stuff, is merely, if you will, a shadow of the reality behind it, the power behind it, the unseen force behind it, which I would suggest to you is God. So we can measure, if you will, spiritual by measuring the real in front of us. Now, they might not be as complex a measurement as you like, but they're a measurement nonetheless. What do you say to that, Mr. Scientist?
Okay.
Only because I said it was Plato, you went for it.
No.
All right.
Not necessarily.
And furthermore, what is this about? So your dad's a pastor? Your grandpa's
a pastor? My grandfather's a pastor, yes.
All right. I got to take a commercial. Will you sit tight and explain that to me in a moment?
Okay.
All right, dude. Hang in there. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young men struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. You might not see them, but the world keeps handing you chains. Chains of fear, chains of people-pleasing, chains of self-love disguised as confidence. It tells you that your worth is found in self-esteem, that your security is found in human approval, and that your strength is found in emotional indulgence or cold, hard stoicism. It's all a trap. And on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, she's cutting through the lies. This isn't just another self-help pep talk, never cheesy, never shallow, just powerful, practical, biblical truth that sets women free. This is Intelligent Talk Radio for women, because real freedom doesn't come from looking inside yourself. It comes from looking up to Christ. If you're ready to ditch the world's empty solutions for something real, it's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. Because in a world full of compromise, there indeed is a better way.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sitting with Stephen, the relative of a Southern Baptist. Correct, Stephen?
Yes, sir.
All right, dude. Now, tell me, your grandpa's a Southern Baptist.
Yes, sir.
All right, but you're not a Southern Baptist.
I don't believe in organized religion, no.
Okay, do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Who is he?
He was a person about 2,000 years ago.
All right, tell me about him.
That's all I
need to know. He sure existed?
Yes.
Definitely?
Yes.
Okay, what did he do while he was living here for 2,000 years ago? What was his purpose? What was the point?
His purpose was to try and rectify everybody else's sins.
Mm-hmm. Because we've got a sin problem.
Yes.
Do you have a sin problem?
Definitely.
So
everyone has a sin problem.
Amen to that. So you've broken the commandments of God. You've lied and lusted.
Yes.
Been ungrateful. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
No.
You've never used it casually in a bad kind of way?
No.
It's never, OMG has never popped down? Okay. You claim to be a Christian, is that correct?
No.
No, you don't?
No. I don't claim to be anything.
I do claim to believe in Jesus
and in God, but I don't like organized religion, which is Christianity.
All right. So who is Jesus?
He's a man who lived 2,000 years ago.
Okay. Is that all he was?
If that is what I want to believe that he was, yes.
That's irrelevant. Okay, I can think that it's 2 over gamma. It's irrelevant what I believe. The question is, what is true? Who did Jesus claim to be?
He claimed to be the savior of mankind.
The God-man. Right, fully God, fully man. Is that true?
Yes.
So Jesus is God?
If he wanted to be.
No, he either is or he isn't. So was Jesus God or not?
You're asking me about a person I know nothing about, basically.
But you believe in him? Are you familiar with the term postmodernism?
Yes.
You're it. Do you know that?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to suggest to you, truth exists. It is either right or it is either wrong. And the intensity of my belief has no bearing on what is correct.
Okay.
All right? Would you agree with that?
Somewhat.
Am I right or wrong?
You can be both.
Uh-uh. Am I right or wrong?
It's not just right and wrong in the world, though.
Can I punch you in the nose?
I would believe it's wrong, but you could believe it's right.
So you're not going to do anything if I hit you right now, right between the eyes?
I wouldn't.
Really?
I'm nonviolent.
Would you be upset with me?
I would, yes.
You would, because it would be wrong. That's why.
It'd be wrong to me, but it could be right to you.
Dude, there's a right and a wrong. And I don't have some supernatural ability, nor do you, to make it a reality. It is either true or false. Spiritual beliefs, just because you can't see them, my desire for them to be true is irrelevant. Do you have some sort of magic dust in your backpack there that you sprinkle on beliefs and make them real?
No.
The intensity of my belief is irrelevant. And if I believe something and I'm wrong, then I'm deluded or delusional, one or the other. But it's not right. Jesus is either the God-man or he is not, period. The end of the story. And it's much better for you to say, I don't think he is, than to say, well, it doesn't matter. Because it does matter. Because if he is the God-man, if Jesus is God, here's what he said. He's going to return to this earth. And he's going to judge the world in righteousness. And that means you. And he also said that if you do not repent and put your trust in him as the true and only God, your sins will be an account of your guilt, and God will pay you for your guilt and for your sins and for your crimes against him. He will give you what you have earned. Do you know what you have earned for lying and lusting and being an idolater and not being a good child and coveting things that don't belong to you? Do you know what you've earned for yourself?
In God's eyes, it's hell.
That's right. And his are the only eyes that matter, right? And if you just simply say, well, I don't believe that his eyes matter, it is like a criminal standing before a judge saying, Judge, I don't believe I'm guilty. I don't agree with you, Judge. That might be your truth, but it's not mine. The judge is going to think you're a nut, and he's going to throw you to jail and maybe even put you in a padded cell. If you stand before the King of Kings and say, well, that's your judgment, God, it's not mine, do you think that it's going to change his mind or he's going to suddenly disappear because you don't think it's real? No. It's real. It's true. This is reality. We're not a giant's dream. This is actually happening. Look at, you felt that when I touched your shoulder, didn't you? You turned your head.
It's real. You're here. You know that it's real. And one day, you're going to die. God is going to judge you. The books of Stephen's life will be opened up. He will see everything that you've thought. He will see your idolatrous ways, your lack of belief. He will see your crimes against him. And the punishment for sin is a place called hell. It's eternal, it's conscious, it's torment, because your crimes against the king have been so egregious. You maybe don't think they're a big deal. You maybe think boys will be boys and everybody else does it, so it doesn't really matter. But your crimes haven't just been against humanity, they've been against God. Therefore, the punishment is awful and it's eternal. Stephen, that's either true or it's not. So my question for you, or at least maybe my pleading with you today, is, please ponder this. It's either true or false. Don't sit in this gray area, because gray doesn't exist. It's black. Truth is black or white. It either is or it isn't. Everything that I've just said is either right or it's wrong. There's no gray area. God is true or he isn't. Now, God judges you. You deserve hell. You've got a Southern Baptist background. God is more than a just judge. He's also kind and merciful, correct?
No. Jesus is kind and merciful, and God is not.
Oh, they're one and the same. Three persons, one God. Okay? And the God of the Old Testament was plenty nice, too. He pleaded with people, just like I'm pleading with you. Don't be an adulterer. Your idolatry is adultery against him. And he pleaded with his people then, like I'm pleading with you now. You can be reconciled to God if you will repent, say you're sorry, agree with God, you've been wrong, he's right, you've sinned, and you're sorry. You turn from your sins, not in perfection, but with a new heart in a new direction, and you put your trust in his Son, the only true and living God, and Jesus promises if you will come unto him like that, he will not cast you out, because the good work that Jesus did on this earth, the punishment that he took by dying on a cross, was on your behalf, that your fine could be paid before the just judge of all the world. Stephen, this is an invitation to be reconciled to God. The command is repent and trust in Jesus Christ. And then you will be reconciled to God because of what Jesus the Reconciler did on your behalf. He was a man to be your representative. He was a God so that the sacrifice could be satisfactory to God the Father. Jesus the God-man stands ready to forgive you. But you got to lay down the postmodern business and the idolatry and repent and trust him and him alone. And he will not cast you out. I would beg you to think about this today and nothing else. Because this is the biggest thing in the world. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and becomes a physics teacher, but loses his soul? Jesus commands you this day to repent and trust in him. You need to determine whether what I'm saying to you is true or false. Will you at least consider that today?
No. Because as the Bible says, I'm going to hell anyway, so it doesn't matter what I do.
Well, you're right.
Because as a homosexual, I'm going to hell anyway.
What does homosexuality have to do with this?
In the Bible, it says, as long as you're homosexual, you're going to hell anyway.
Let me tell you what else the Bible says. All homosexuals, all thieves, all liars, all blasphemers, all adulterers, every sinner will go to hell. You're a sinner just like me.
Yeah.
And him and her. But I'm not going to hell because I've been forgiven of all of my sins, just like you can be forgiven of all of your sins.
But you've also tried to stop all of your sins, and I can't try and stop being homosexual.
Well, you're right. But Jesus will give you a new heart with new desires. That maybe doesn't mean that your proclivities don't change, but your desire to be at war with things that are wrong, whether it's homosexuality or gossip or lusting or pornography, it doesn't matter, dude. You're not a special camp of people. Heterosexuals need to turn from their sins. Dude, I'm a dog. I would lust all day long if I could, but I don't want to anymore. Because God's forgiven me, and now why would I do the things that put his Son on the cross? Why would I do that? So it doesn't matter what your sexual desires are. It's irrelevant. You need to be forgiven for your sins, no matter what they are. And turn from them and put your trust in His Son, and He will forgive you. There's homosexuals in heaven. But the difference is there's homosexuals who love the Savior more than they love their sin. The offer is available to you too, Stephen. So don't use your sexuality as a get-out-of-reality
yeah.
free card, okay? Jesus wants you to go to heaven. He will give you what you deserve if you reject this offer of His kindness. He says if you will come unto Him, He will give you rest, and He will grant you forgiveness. He will adopt you as His son and grant you everlasting life, heir of adoption. Ponder it today. Will you?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. Appreciate the chat.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.